Let's turn for a moment. This is a day of what? Celebration. A day of rejoicing because of what he did. His victory is our victory. His resurrection is our resurrection. Or you could say it even, let's go back. His crucifixion was my crucifixion. It was his sins he took to the cross. My burial was his burial. And his resurrection was my resurrection. And when he was raised from the dead and seated, I was seated. You know, I said this last, we have prayer, noontime prayer. I just had this in my heart. I said, say this after me. I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm seated. Right. I'm saved, and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and I'm seated. I'm seated in heavenly places. So I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm seated. And you need to remind the devil of that when he comes a-knocking. I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm seated. Hallelujah. But Revelations 1:17, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, 17 and 18. You can follow along in whatever translation. But I like this in the Passion, Revelation. Of course, we're familiar, King James, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell of death and death. But listen to this in the Passion Translation. It says, this is John, when I saw him, I fell down at his feet, as good as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, and I heard this reassuring voice saying, don't yield to fear. Ooh, boy, I love that. Don't yield to fear. That's a lesson right there. Every day, don't yield to fear. And then he went on to say, I am the beginning, I am the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. When fear comes knocking, don't yield to fear. Because that's all it is. He's been defeated. He's been stripped of his authority over the church. Over those who are what? Saved, sealed, and seated. Ha ha. You know, we need to learn how to laugh when fear knocks. We need to know and take that position. You know, if you were, well, let's take a look at this. Let's say you were Shaquille O'Neal and somebody who was about 5 foot came up alongside him and said, I'm going to whoop you. What would he do? He'd just look down and laugh. He would laugh. He wouldn't fear. He'd laugh. He'd say, well, you got to be kidding me. And we need to do the same. When fear comes knocking, we're alive in him. We're alive in Christ. And his life is in me. And I'm seated, as Ephesians says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We're seated above it. Isn't that good? So we're celebrating his defeat of Satan and sickness and disease. And we're celebrating that empty tomb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it gets me excited. The more I think about who lives in me, the more I think about his life that lives in me, the more I think about resurrection life that's in me, that allows me to approach life a little differently, to think about the things that I face differently. And we need to keep that in our minds. John 6:63, it says, the Spirit gives life. This is the New International. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. His words are Spirit, and they are life. The Word, what is 1 Peter? I think it's 1 Peter 1:23 or 2:23. I think it's 1 Peter 1:23. It says that we are born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which liveth, the Word of God, which liveth and what? Abideth forever. Who lives in us? The seed of the Word. The Word of God lives in us. His Spirit lives in us. That means we will live forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 10:10. The thief cometh not, what? But for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But he came, what? That we might have life, and life more, what? Abundantly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he came that we might have life. Now let's look at a familiar scripture and look at his purpose for coming. John 3:14, 15, and 16. We're all familiar with this in John 3:16, but let's back up to verse 14. I'll read this in the King James. And it says, as Moses did what? He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he was sharing here. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be lifted up. And then it went on to say that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have life, and life more abundantly. We have what? Everlasting life. We have resurrection life. Where? In us, in our spirit. So that means when you leave this earth, if Jesus tarries, and we fulfill our life here and leave, this body will stay here, but the spirit of the man, the spirit, your spirit, will leave that body and be in the presence of the Lord. And then when he returns, that's that promise, that when he returns, those that what? Those that are dead or have gone before us will be raised first, and those who are alive will be caught up together with him and spend what? Eternity with him. That's that resurrection promise. That's why if we have loved ones that are gone on before us, we can rejoice. They've just changed locations. They're alive. They're more alive. You know, some of us kind of go through life, but those that have gone on before us, they're alive. We miss them, but they're alive. And we will see them again. Glory to God. In heaven. So 1 John 3:8, this is shares his purpose. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he what? He might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. So the works of the devil have been destroyed. He has no power over you. He has no power over your life. He has no power over your body. He has no power over your mind. And all he has is fear to deceive you into what? Yielding to it. That's why I like the Passion Translation of Revelation 1:17. Don't yield to fear. Think about it. When Jesus said to Peter, when he saw him, he said, "Lord, is that you? Bid me come if that's you." And he said, "Come." And Peter got down out of the boat and was walking on the water. And it said, he saw the wind and the wave. He yielded to fear. And he did what? He began to sink. So when we go through life, don't yield to fear. Don't yield to fear thoughts. Don't tolerate it. Say, no, it's not going to be this way. Whatever that fear thought is, you confess what you desire. You confess the word of God. Because it's our promise. Glory to God. So his crucifixion was our crucifixion. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. If he lives in me, that means resurrection life lives in me. It's no longer I that liveth. He lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith, not fear, faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We don't live by fear. We live by faith. Faith in him. Hallelujah. That's why when you turn on the TV or whatever you're watching, your device, I heard this years ago. I read it, actually. It was a major news outlet, and the producer of that program said, this is what he said, fear sells. So they push fear. He said, fear sells. That's kind of sad, isn't it? So they know what they're doing. And you need to watch what you listen to, hear, because fear, if you listen to it long enough and you embrace it, you begin to have fear thoughts. You know, Brother Hagin said it when he was alive. He said, if your thinking is off, and if you think on something long enough, your believing will be off. And if your believing is off, then ultimately it gets to your heart, and what comes out of your heart is what you've been storing up, and you'll start speaking fear or speaking things that are off. So we need to watch what we think on. Think on the things that he promised, that I'd have a life and have it more abundantly. Maybe I'm not seeing it right now. That doesn't change the promise. That doesn't change his blood-bought promise for me. Just because I'm not walking in it, not because I'm not seeing it, doesn't mean it's not available. That means just like you walk through life and you say, there's opportunities for me to have. What do you do when there's opportunities and you don't have it and you want it? What do? You go after it, don't you? You pursue it and you say, I'm going to get that. And in most cases, if you keep pursuing something, you achieve it. And it's the same thing here. You weren't walking in it, but you said, I'm going to do that. You began to say by faith something that you didn't have, and you began to go after something, and you got it. How much more? For things, just because I'm not walking in a promise of God, is that a reason to say, well, maybe he didn't want me to have that? Come on. Just in your own natural life, you pursued things that you weren't walking in. Come on. This was bought and paid for by his blood. Man, you need to say, no, I'm taking that. And devil, back up. It's going to be this way. Period. Oh, yes. Say it like you mean it. Not, well, I sure hope so. No. We walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we were what? Crucified with him. I think some of the other trans, I think the Passion says we were co-crucified. We were buried with him. And then it says in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So we were crucified. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. And then we were what? Raised with him. Hallelujah. When you look at this, this is in the New King James. In Romans chapter 4, it's the last verse in chapter 4 of Romans. You can read it in whatever translation, but this is Romans chapter 4, verse 25 in the New King James. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses? He was delivered up not for his offenses, because of ours. And then it says this, and was raised because of our justification. That means he was released when God said, it's paid. Sin has been paid for. He's released. And we were released. We were raised because it was our sins that he took to hell. And so when it was paid for, that's why it says we were raised. That's why it's not just something that we take lightly. Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, when it says, we confess that Jesus is Lord and we believe that what? He was raised from the dead. If you don't confess that and believe it, then you don't believe that your sins were paid for. Because it was our sins. When we say he was raised from the dead, that means my sins were paid for. I was raised from the dead. You must confess Jesus as Lord, and you must believe and say he was raised from the dead. He is alive. And my sins were paid for. Colossians, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, starting in verse 11. I like sometimes the Passion Translation is a little more modern, and it adds some a little better understanding to it. But you can read it along in whatever translation. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart, All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Ooh. When something's extinct, what does that mean? Anybody take a stab at it? When it's extinct, it means it doesn't exist anymore. When they get on and they say, well, this animal's extinct now, what does that mean? It doesn't exist. It no longer exists. This says here, the power, the guilt, and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. So the guilt and power of sin has been broken. So all the devil has is a video picture of something to get you to do what? Fear something or say, oh yeah, you're right. Huh. It's not true. It's a lie. Because the guilt and power of sin has been broken and it is now extinct. It's been paid for. And that was done through him taking our sins to the cross and paying for it. And this goes on. It says it's been cut away and now is extinct because of what Christ the Anointed One has accomplished for us. But we have been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. When we believed, we were raised from the dead. The power that raised him from death's realm, this death realm, describes our former state. And we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that death realm, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. So don't dare let people judge you or bring up your past. They did it with Paul. And Paul said, I don't know him. It doesn't pertain to me anymore. I mean, he went around making a mess of the church, and they tried to bring that up in his life. So people will do the same thing to you, and you need to remind them, I'm a new person in Christ. That's been removed. That's now extinct. Or, you know, just like they do in the law enforcement, when they expunge something, it doesn't exist anymore. They go in, type, look for it, I can't find it. So they can't find your sins. Verse 14, he canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He canceled it. It said he erased it all. Our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all and they cannot be retrieved. Huh? Can't be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. That's why when the devil comes knocking, you need to point him to the cross and say, there's where my sins lie. I'm free. I'm redeemed. And don't let people, what does the scripture say? It's very clear in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is in verse 1. There is therefore what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So don't let people condemn. Don't let the devil condemn. You're redeemed. You have his resurrection life in you now. Praise God. I like this. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 in the Passion Translation. That's why sometimes it's just good to get something. Sometimes a scripture will just minister to you or register in your heart. The Passion Translation of Romans, I just quoted it, but it says, listen to this. So now the case is closed. It says, there remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. So now the case is closed. So when somebody wants to come in and bring something up, you go, sorry, that case is closed. That case is closed. It's already been paid for. It's been judged. It's nailed permanently on the cross as a public display of cancellation. Case closed. You know, think about this. Just think about in the natural. When they want to prosecute someone in the United States, and I know there may be somebody in here that may question that, but just in the natural, a very simple basis of our Constitution, if they bring a charge against you, there has to be evidence. And if they can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt, the judge will say, dismissed. Case closed. No evidence. Is that not true? And so, what did Jesus say? Case closed. No evidence. There's no evidence against you to bring an indictment against you anymore. He paid for it. He paid for it. And it's been paid for. Every man, that's why there's no sin that has been held against any person that's been born. He paid for the sins of every man, regardless of whether they know it or not. It's been paid for. Ooh, what a price. What a price. That's why he left the body of Christ here to share that. That there's no indictment against you. God's not, Pastor Clinton used to say, he'd tell people, God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you anymore. And the devil will accuse you, you did this, you didn't live your life right. You know, people will go through life trying to do good works to feel good when that won't get them into heaven. Not that good things, doing good things aren't right, but it's the blood of Jesus and his eternal life that comes into us, his resurrection life that frees us from that. Not the good works. And yet we're told to do good works. But that's not getting us into heaven. It's his life, his resurrection life, his eternal life. Glory to God. So when we were born again, our spirits were changed. You became a new person in Christ. No evidence of the old man. It was changed, and the old nature was removed. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, this is the New Living Translation. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That doesn't mean we don't have responsibilities, but we don't spend our waking moments thinking solely about earthly things. because this life is what, like a vapor. You'll be here. You know, I haven't sat down, but some of us do that. Figure out how long, you know, people have left this earth and gone to heaven. It says, a day in heaven is as what? 1,000 years on this earth. So think about what, how many years is 1 minute in heaven? It's a bit. So sometimes people haven't been gone for, they've been in heaven a minute or seconds in earth, in heaven time. So God is given us this life so that we could live an overcoming life. He, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Well, let me read it from the New Living Translation. This is Romans, I'm sorry, yeah, in the King James. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if one man's offense, if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil and to give us life that we might do what? Reign. You know, on this day, we're tolerating too much in life and not taking hold of things that God promised. It's going to be a fight. It will be a fight, but it'll be a faith fight. We don't have to do it. God will do it. But you need to just be determined, just like you went after things in life that you were determined to have and to achieve, whether it was education, whether it was a job, whatever it is, you were determined to get that. You were not going to stop until you got it. And you didn't back up. You didn't let circumstances deter you. And to me, it's the same thing. When you know and value what he did for us, then I'm going to take hold of that. You know what happens? Sometimes I think really what it is that the word of God says the entrance of his word bringeth light. And I think really what it boils down to, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that when you don't have a revelation of what he did, we don't take it as seriously. We just go, oh, well, you know. But when you know something and you see it, you'll fight for it. You will fight for it. You will take it and say, I'm not letting that go. He paid for that. He died for that. I'm not letting up on this till I see it, till I get it. You do the same thing in natural things. But what happens with natural things? You see something, right? You see it, or you see something being lived out by somebody else, or it's in your heart, and you go, I'm going to have that. I'm going to do that. And you go after it, as they say, tooth and nail and whatever else, and you don't back up, and hardship comes, whatever, sacrifice, and you go, we're going to get this. And families will sacrifice to achieve a goal, won't they? Why aren't we doing that with spiritual things? Because we don't see it. we haven't grasped it. And that comes through because when you see it, when revelation comes, faith comes. And when faith is there, it says faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, expected. So when I see something and I have faith in that area, I go after it. By what? Faith. And I don't waver. So I think sometimes we let go of things and tolerate things because we're either operating in faith and letting go because we don't see something, or we're really not operating in faith. Which means that we need to feed on the Word of God till we see something and bang, we take it. We go after it. Yeah. So God, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Because this really speaks of his resurrection and ours. Ephesians 1:17. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 17, it says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be what? Flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people who are rich in glorious inheritance. You see, it's that understanding of what we've got. And then he goes on, verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. See, that takes a revelation, an understanding. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. That makes it plain. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So when Paul wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when he said, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, Christ and his name are one. So when we speak in the name of Jesus, that name is above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. So all things are under the authority of the name of Jesus. So that's why when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. Those that believe will be saved, those that won't will be damned. And he said, cast out devils. And he said, in my name, cast out devils. In my name, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that authority has been achieved. All things are under the power of Christ, under him. And he's done that for the benefit of the church. He's in heaven, and his body is here. To do what? Take back what the devil has stolen. Hey, glory to God. So that name is above every name. Glory to God. You know, I saw something this week. I got a friend request on Facebook, I don't know, a while ago, and it was from a lady by the name of Jean Cook, C-O-O-K. And her husband graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center the same year that Clinton and Sarah Utterbach did, 1980. And they were, and I'm going to read this little testimony, but they graduated in 1980, and they relocated. They took their four kids, and they relocated to Panama, to this area. And it said, the National Geographic said, this area that they went to is the densest jungle in the world. And they were impressed to reach out to these Indians. They call them the Choco Indians. They were indigenous. And isn't it, I mean, it's just, and she posts, she has a book she wrote about 10 years ago. I'm going to order it. You can get it on Amazon by Jean, J-E-A-N-N-E, Cook, C-O-O-K. And I'm going to order it because it's full of their testimonies of how they operated in the jungle. And lived a resurrection life. But their ministry is called Vida Ministries, V-I-D-A, and their base was in Darien, D-A-R-I-E-N, Darien, Panama. It was in the jungle. And it said, they minister to the Choco Indians. It said also, he built many churches. He erected a radio tower on their compound and pioneered a Christian radio in the jungle. See? But this is what it said. When we first moved to Darien, it was a very spiritually dark place. Witchcraft ruled. The devil used the spirit of fear to control everyone. It was the law that governed his kingdom. They called him, meaning the people there, they called him the evil eye and thought he was watching them 24/7. When Denny, she calls her husband Denny or Dennis, when Denny began teaching the word of God, he began teaching the character of God. As the word of God began to take root in their hearts, change began. He taught on how God spoke everything into being by the power of his word. There was no sin in God, so all of heaven stood behind the words that he spoke. The law of unconditional love governed heaven. This is her testimony here. When Adam sinned, he was still a child of God, but he lost the authority behind the words he spoke. He explained how the devil ruled the earth after Adam sinned until Jesus came. He doesn't rule me anymore. He doesn't rule you anymore. When Jesus came, he had no sin in him. He spoke with authority. Even the winds and the sea obeyed him. He radiated how deeply God the Father loved his children. He healed the sick, raised the dead, and cast out devils to break the authority of the devil over God's children. There wasn't anything he did not have the power over. The witch doctors tried to kill Denny to prevent him from teaching the word of God. The Indians watched Dennis stand against the witch doctors without any fear. He used to say, fear is not in my vocabulary. He would just stand up to them. Little by little, Dennis began establishing churches and teaching the people that fear had no power over them. They could stand in the authority and speak God's word and defeat the devil. He's taking this into an indigenous people that never heard the gospel. And he's telling them, stand up to those witch doctors. Stand up to the devil. He has no authority. They took it to heart. It says, when that revelation came, it changed everything in Darien. Now listen to this. This was the part I stopped. I had to read it 20 times. The most powerful witch doctor in Colombia and Panama shared this testimony. This is from the witch doctor. Listen to this. He said, every child of God has the name of Jesus written in blood on their forehead. In the supernatural realm, the light on their foreheads penetrates all the darkness. A horn blows and says, there is a child of the Most High God walking in the area. This is what he said. He said, we hope they do not know that they are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. We hope they do not know that the authority of the spoken word of God, every demon, sickness, and circumstance have come to a screeching halt and bow their knee because the spoken word of God holds the final authority. That's from a witch doctor. We hope they don't know what they have. And they ruled by fear and they cowered. But when they got the revelation of who they were in Christ, they stood up and they confronted it and pushed it out of their area. See, sometimes we've gotten so, I don't want to say it, just so worldly minded. We listen to the news and think stuff can't change. Who's pulling the strings? The devil is. Yeah, we don't have witch doctors, but I'll tell you, in behind the scenes, you got people dabbling in witchcraft, yielding to the devil, and letting him come in and rule areas and territories, and the church is just sitting back, feeding on the news, going, boy, it's sure bad in this area. Take authority over the darkness. Stand up and say, it's got to go. Leave this area. We forbid it. That's what this witch doctor said. We hope they don't know. We hope they don't know that they're bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. Whew. I mean, that's a sad statement for the church, isn't it? It made me sit down and think. And it said here, the Indians realized what Jesus did for them because of the fear that ruled their lives before. They have a deep gratitude for his suffering to redeem them. And then it just says, the open tomb screams out, it is finished. God's children are redeemed. We're redeemed. And we should not tolerate fear. We should not allow it. I don't care if something negative happens to you. You're not going to allow fear to take hold of you. That's not mine. That's why when I read these stories of Brother Hagin, when he would say, death gripped my body. You know, a lot of us would, we'd be 911. He said he laughed at it. And he said, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, but he had a revelation of who he was and who the devil was, and he laughed at him, and he said it left. All of those symptoms left him because he knew that the only thing the devil could do was create fear and symptoms, and if you take hold of them, bang. But we are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. I'm called by him. I'm crucified with him. I was raised with him. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Ooh, I hope that stirs your heart. It stirs mine. You know, these are people, you know, they must be in their 80s. at this point. I don't know if they're still stationed down there or not. You know, they have, I'm sure they have, you know, they have a house in stateside. I think it said they have a house, or they live in Indiana, but their base, their compound is in that area. I'll tell you, it excites me. When I read stories like that, I'm like, oof. We're going to take back and we are going to establish God's kingdom in the earth. If you don't like something that you see or something that you're experiencing, then you need to stand up against it. Stand against it. Walk in the love of God. Use the name of Jesus and let him push back the darkness. Because he needs a voice here in the earth. God's not going to do it except we have to do what? Operate in faith and speak. And he watches over his word to bring it to pass. That's why when it says, what I forbid, heaven backs me up. If I allow it, heaven stands by and allows it. That's what Matthew 18:18 says. Praise God. Hope that stirs your heart a little bit. Walk away remembering today who you are in Christ. I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm seated. And I've got resurrection life in me. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for allowing us to feed upon your word. Thank you for Jesus, who's our Savior and mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you this day for redeeming us and seating us in heavenly places. Thank you that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you that you've given us your name. You told us to go into all the world with your name and your spirit leading us. So, Father, we thank you today. We honor you. We bless you in Jesus' name today. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, I never know who's here, who's not here, and I don't know people's spiritual life. But one thing I know is that we need to make sure that we're right with God. He's coming soon, you know. Every time I see somebody Spanish, I always say, Dios viene pronto. Means Jesus is coming soon. Dios viene pronto. He's coming soon. And a lot sooner than I think people realize. And so we need to be thinking, am I right with God? Is my heart right? And making sure that I'm right with God. And one way is to make sure, did I ask him into my heart? Did I believe that Jesus, or confess Christ as Lord, as Savior, my Savior? Have I believed that he was raised from the dead? And then just making sure I'm in right fellowship with God. Because he said, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So let's just, regardless, even if you're saved, just look at your heart and let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I call you my Lord. And I believe that you took my sins to hell. I was buried with you. I was crucified with you. And when sin was paid for, you were released and we were raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to cleanse me of any unrighteousness. And I believe that I am saved. I believe the blood of Jesus has cleansed me. And I am now in right standing with you. Glory to God. And if you meant that, you can walk away today knowing that you're right with God and that I always say this, what the scripture says, don't yield to fear. Take hold of faith. You are the bearer of the most powerful name in the universe. And don't let the devil run roughshod in your life, in your family, even in your kids. Don't let them run roughshod. Don't give them an inch or a crack. You stand up and come against him. You know, this country that we live in, this great country, you know, I'm for all people, but there are some things that are just going on in this country that are not godly. And people are just tolerating it. And it's like, we're not against people. But if people are deceived, then we need to do something. We need to pray that the light of the gospel would shine into their hearts and be saved. You know, people that have embraced different lifestyles and all kinds of things that they're doing, it's an interesting thing. You see people that have, I remember seeing something a number of years ago where this, I don't remember whether they transitioned from a male to a female or whatever it was, but they realized, and this person got on, he had been all disfigured because of all of the things that he'd gone through, or she, I don't remember what it was, but the person began to talk about how Jesus came into their heart and they've been redeemed by his blood. And they were changed. But now they had all this disfigurement because they thought, I needed to do that. Well, let me ask you a question. Is the church going to accept them when they come in? Is the church prepared to not have an attitude? Because they're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. They just were lost. They were deceived. And that's what we need to do. We need to start praying for people that are deceived. Because just like here, where they went into a jungle and started to preach the gospel, yeah, they tried to kill him. But he said, fear is not my vocabulary. And it began, when it began to take root in the hearts of the people, it changed that area. Well, if it can change it in the jungle, why can't it change it in your neighborhood? Why can't it change it person by person by person by person? It will change a society. And I believe that we're going to see a groundswell where the church is going to awaken to say, enough. Satan, you've done enough damage. And the church is going to rise up and take back things, you know, people and societies and areas that are just lost. They've lost their way. And God loves them. That's why when he went into the jungle, he began to teach the character of God. Because God loves people. And the devil hates people. So if we just walk in love with people, tell them how much God loves them, tell them that Jesus paid for your sins. All you need to do is ask him in your heart. He's not mad. He sent Jesus to pay for the sins of all mankind. And we just operate in love with people. right? Amen. Praise God. Well, have a wonderful day. Enjoy your day, whatever you're doing. And God is good. Praise God. Amen. And I have a voice. And the devil's defeated. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, if you'd heard me at 4 a.m, I couldn't stop coughing. And I'd have a voice. I'm coughing. I said, I will speak today, and I will have a voice, and I will not cough. And I have my voice is going to be right. You've got to stand up and decree the way it's going to be. And not, because you know, your thoughts come. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Be still. Just stand up. Take hold of what your right is. Begin to say the way it's going to be. Amen. Operate in faith. Praise God. God bless you.